This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is the Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Now, here is the Glow Show.
Hello and welcome to another Vic Police Glow Show, your show to find out all there is to know about LGBTI liaison officers across Victoria. I am Jason Gipps, Joy Production Manager, amongst other things, and with me my co-host Jen Dixon, who is the LGBTI Portfolio Community Portfolio Manager. Thereabouts.
Hi Jason, how are you?
Good, how are you Jen?
Yeah, very good, thanks.
I'm really pumped about this because we are speaking about what went down at the Coming Back Out Ball.
Yeah.
So we'll have to delve into what that is about for the community that are not aware of. In the studio to tell us more is Senior Sergeant Tony Richardson, Priority Communities Division, or PCD. Hello, Tony.
Hi, Jason. How are you?
Good, thanks. And of course, Dinesh Netta, also in the studio with us once again for the show.
Hi, all.
So, Tony, can you explain your role specifically at the Victorian Police?
So I sit in the Priority Communities Division, and I work alongside our Priority Communities Portfolio holders, Jen being one of those. And there's four sworn members at the senior sergeant rank. And we have four senior sergeants that that sit in our area. We look after one region of Victoria each. My region is Northwest Metro, which covers from Hurstbridge in the eastern suburbs to Sunbury out west, down to the St Kilda Junction and right through to Whittlesea. So massive
right, wow.
area, which covers a lot of residential high-density living around the CBD. So we've got all the CBD.
Yeah.
So our main role is to, or my main role is to be the conduit between the portfolio holders who are helping to devise the policy for Victoria Police through the reference groups. And then we help to give it an operational spin, so whatever the information and policies that come out can be practically applied on the front line. Apart from that, we also have some oversight on some social cohesion projects that are operating in the at the moment. We do a little bit of work around resolving issues that come through the portfolio holders that members of the community might contact Jen, for instance, with some issues they've had with the police.
Right.
And we can give a police perspective and then, you know, send that to where it needs to go.
So, okay, who wants to give us a little bit of a background? What is the Coming Out Ball and what's it all about?
I'll hand over to Tony on this one.
I don't know whether I'm qualified enough to talk about it. And really our involvement was to go along and support the community
with
the ball. So Deputy Commissioner Andrew Crisp and myself went to the ball on Saturday night.
Fantastic.
And I think you're right, Jen, it was the first one that they've had, but there was a couple of years in the planning to get it to get it over the line.
Right, because I've heard about it for a while.
Mm.
Okay. And it was a successful event?
Well, being there, it was an absolute pleasure. It was probably one of the better events I've been to in my life, to be honest. It was just so well orchestrated, and it was just, as I said to Jen earlier in the week, the feeling in the room was just one of total support and joyousness amongst the community. So yeah, it was a fantastic event. Of course, the meal was lovely. And,
what was the meal? Set the scene.
Oh, well, I can tell you about the seven desserts I had.
Wow.
But much before that, I can't remember. But
I'm so disappointed I wasn't there.
So there was an open bar as well, was there, Tony?
Well, not for me. No, it was strictly mineral water for myself and Mr. Chris. But we still had a great night.
Fantastic. It would be great to go along to that event and also go along to the ball that the Minus 18 crew put on to see the two different perspectives from being the youth of the community and the mature age folk of the community and
Absolutely.
See how different they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's all community coming together, right? So much the same.
Yep.
So why was there a need for a Victoria Police presence at the event? Tell us about that.
Well, we do get quite a lot of invitations to community events, and this was one that came through to myself as the LGBTI portfolio manager, inviting Victoria Police along to be part of the event. And look, community, as we've said before, has a really strong relationship now with Victoria Police, and same the other way. Victoria Police are heavily engaged from a senior command level, but also right through the ranks in many festivals, whatever it may be that's occurring, just as one of our previous guests was saying, rural community engagements and some of the larger ones. So we were invited along to attend, and Mr. Andrew Crisp, who's our Deputy Commissioner, was also very keen to attend as well. And we like to have a presence at these functions. It's important for us to show that we're there to support community. We like to keep that relationship strong. We feel like we're in a very good position at the moment with the community, and it's just a way for us to be there and show our support.
We've spoken about this quite a bit on the show, and Gabby in particular makes doesn't pussyfoot around the difficulties that the Victorian Police have had in the past with the LGBTI community. There have been wounds there that have been healed quite a lot. Yeah. And a lot of those, I assume, are still quite present with the elders of our LGBTI community because these are a demographic of people that have gone through some pretty heavy stuff for the police back in the day, and those things have been worked on very well over the years. But does anything come up in conversations? Were there still any concerns there on the night that were discussed from the older members of the community? Did they reflect on the past?
Yeah, absolutely. And I had conversations with people who were in their 70s, 80s, and I think there was even one person there in their 90s who have had a lifetime of experience and not good experiences with law enforcement. And so when you look sort of back the 20, 30 years in the 70s, 70s and 80s, that was probably when it was at its worst for people in the community. There's a lot of raw wounds still, I think, in some people in those communities. But they do acknowledge that the police are doing a lot to try and change that. And I think people understand that policing has changed a lot in the last 30 years. I've been a police officer for 31. And we've come leaps and bounds from 30 odd years ago.
That's a long career, 31 years. What are the main differences? Is it perhaps that the police have gone from where the position of authority, you do what you're told, to being, we're part of the community, we're here for you, and we're here to support you? Is that a major difference?
Absolutely. I think policing now has completely changed. And in our office, where Jen and I work, we have the priority communities, which cover a multitude of different people in Victoria. And really we're there to support all of those communities. And that's not just the LGBTI community, it's in multiculturalism and youth and elders, disability, mental health. There's a lot of different people that fall into those communities.
Do you guys have to come up with, like, is it a challenge for that, roundtable, that group of people at the Victoria Police, to not have people feel like it's a tokenistic gesture? Because it's, you know, from my perspective and the involvement we've had on the Glow Show podcast, I can see so much effort being made for the multicultural communities, as Dinesh is here as a multicultural liaison officer.
Yeah.
Glows. Yeah, is it hard to sort of break down on that sort of idea of, you're just doing this because you have to, versus like, I see a need for this, you are doing great things for my community, thank you?
Absolutely. Actually, it's funny, we had a visiting academic a couple of weeks ago, and she mentioned a phrase which I thought was quite funny, and it's called the bowl of fruit analogy.
Yeah.
And so it's like when organisations have, you know,
not just specifically the LGBTI community.
No, but but like, you know, having a mix of different cultures and sexuality, whatever it may be, just for the sake of it, for that tokenistic quality.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of organisations have done it in the past. I'm sure that Victoria Police might have done it a time ago. But no, I think what the difference is that we work with community. So we've got the portfolio reference groups, which we've mentioned before, not across all of the portfolios at the moment, but we're working towards that. And we drive a lot of our work from what community tells us they need. So we have that ongoing dialogue and communication with community to say, look, what are we, is there anything we're missing? Is there anything we should be looking at? And we have that open communication. So that drives a lot of what I do. In fact, it drives all of what I do. Obviously, I need to make sure that it's balanced with what the organisation can do. There's certain times where you can do things, and sometimes where both parties need to compromise. But I think it's probably the most effective way of having that, you know, building and maintaining that relationship, is to really actually be doing something tangible for community rather than just putting together a bunch of strategies and policies that don't really go anywhere.
Yeah, you really got to get out there to the community. You can't just have things on a document.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think the other part of that too, Jason, is that as we recruit more people into the organisation, like we're very bottom heavy. So the people, you know, that have held outdated views are getting pretty much more and more away from the organisation. Mm-hmm. we're now a reflection of a much younger workforce who have lived in these communities all their lives. So they don't know any different. So, you know, all these different communities are the norm to them. And I think as an organisation, we reflect that in our policies and practices too.
So what actually went down at the coming out ball? How was it?
Well, like I said, it was a really, really fantastic event from walking up the rainbow stairs at the front of the Melbourne Town Hall.
What a venue as well, huh?
Yeah, great
that
venue.
That ballroom is incredible.
Yeah, great venue. The entertainment, so starting off with the entrance and red carpet type entry, which I tried to avoid. the event itself, like I said, was just a celebration of the elders in the community, and certain people were picked out just to share some of their experiences, their lived experiences, not in a negative view, but more in from now looking forward and how they see their future.
Those stories are important, aren't they?
Mm. Absolutely. And I think for a lot of younger members in the community that were at the ball as well, it shows that how far we've come from where these people and how these people's lives were then to what they have now, and how they can look forward to with probably some deal of with positivity in their minds. Yeah.
We've spoken about history a little bit today, and it's really for the younger people, it's important to understand the historical piece. You know, there is a bit of a tendency when you haven't experienced something before to come to a situation and go, well, why do we need this? What is this? What's the point of this? I don't really experience this. But if you understand where we've been and where we are now, I think it puts things in context. And having that recognition of people that have come before us, particularly our elders, and we're lucky enough and fortunate enough to have strong relationships with some of them. I hope they don't mind me calling them elders. I know that one person is self-described elder, but I see them as elders, and they're powerful, intelligent, well-versed people from community that have had, you know, some pretty full-on experiences before, and we can learn from that.
Very true. And I think it's an ongoing struggle, actually, for the LGBTI community, but a good struggle to be having, because there's been many before it that have been by far more traumatizing for people. But the actual struggle of young people and having quite a healthy and supportive coming out experience at a very young age versus what the community went through in the past. You know, we want things to be comfortable for people. We don't want coming out to have to be a big deal and it's all just natural and everyone's going to be accepted. But we don't want to forget those stories of the past either. So things like the coming out ball are no doubt really important to share those perspectives and encourage younger people to understand what people had gone through in the past.
Mm. Oh, yeah, absolutely, because we're not quite there yet. Mm. You know, we've still got a long way to go across the world, and particularly in policing and, you know, communities. We're not at a point where we're post-identity, post-gender. We're a very long way off that. So if we don't maintain the momentum, then there might be that tendency to slip back a little bit, and we definitely don't want that to happen. So we just keep the conversation going.
And also I think it's important, like history is important. You know, you don't want to make the same mistakes over and over again.
Yeah.
But it's important that it gets told by the people who actually live it as well.
Yes.
So that the next generation can learn from it, because there's a lot of stories that, you know, we haven't heard before, and you know, so we have no inclination of what's happened. So,
Dinesh, is it harder for the mature age people of the community more broadly to stand up and share a story of something that had happened in the past that perhaps they've kept bottled up inside? And because it's hard to speak up to the police anyways, and A, I'm not sure if I'm going to be taken seriously. B, you know, it was a long time ago. Is it worth bringing up? And then, you know,
I think it's. You know, really hurtful sometimes to bring up the past.
Mm.
But, you know, it's important to recognise and tell your story sometimes. You know, as I said, otherwise history just keeps repeating itself. And that's why, you know, as was mentioned before, some of the younger generation just come up and don't understand what it's all about, because they're living in a different environment. But, you know, if we don't address the situation, we'll just go back in history again, you know.
There are so many amazing supports and services for the LGBTI community, a lot of them online. Does that connect the same way to the mature age community? It might be an assumption. I'm probably making an assumption, but the more mature age people in the community may have difficulty with some of those social media platforms that younger people do? Are there other ways that the community can connect with the police if they're not as tech savvy?
Yeah, look, I think that there has been plenty of indications that, and this is from outside the police, I'm probably more broadly speaking about, that there are some barriers there with older people accessing certain kinds of platforms and social media.
I feel like I'm there already, by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah, I'm not signing
my
up for any
more.
My
10-year-old cousin can do this, yeah. You're sure. Yeah.
So there would certainly be challenges and barriers there, and I guess you've got some more traditional networks which maybe, you know, aren't seen as LGBTI friendly. We had Neighbourhood Watch here a couple of weeks back, and that's a you know, an organisation that's made up of, you know, I think it's 7,000 volunteers, and so there's lots of opportunities for older people to get involved. Whether or not they access what platforms they use, I don't know, but I guess probably the more traditional form would be them actually approaching a police station, and you would hope that when they do, that, you know, we hope that everybody has a rainbow flag at the front. Most stations do, I'm pleased to say, and we actually have the rainbow flag flying on a few occasions every year, which is great. But yeah, obviously we hope that they're getting the right kind of service when they're approaching their local police. And I don't know whether you guys want to expand on that, but yeah, as far as actually, you know, older community members coming forward, then I would say yeah. there's probably some residual challenges there. Yeah.
And I suppose we have to encourage people to come forward and, you know, report matters, because there's a lot of underreporting that goes ahead. So the thing is, you know, there's prejudice motivated crimes and incidences, and their reporting methods are different, you know, when they're taken over the counter. But you know, but they have to know that the police take it very seriously, and we do go ahead and investigate and these incidents, and we have to keep an eye on the trend of you know, incidents that happen as well. So it's important.
I think, and going back to the ball on Saturday night, I think just by having us there and being represented at those functions just shows that we are really approachable and you know,
present.
We're there, exactly. We're here. And I was just going to make a comment when you spoke about the difficulties of some of the older people in the community. And one of the points that came from one of the elders is that some of them, you know, unfortunately, are experiencing having to go back into the closet because they're moving into retirement villages and things like that, which don't really cater for their community. And they feel uncomfortable without having that support network around them. So, you know, their challenges haven't ended, even though they've got... to their advanced years, they're still facing challenges every day, which is a real battle.
And no doubt things are for that. Maybe the younger members of the community that want to support our elders could perhaps get involved in things like Out and About through Switchboard, which I believe is a program that you can connect with elders of the community and visit them in their nursing homes and stuff like that, and just be a friend and get to know someone that's a bit different to yourself, perhaps.
Yeah, and I think there's a few new programs like that emerging. I heard one yesterday. I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of it, but it was connecting younger people with an elder in the community.
Right, yeah.
And it was around mental health and sort of building that positive relationship between someone who's actually experienced what it's like to be out and living in the community and getting that that sort of like two-way intergenerational relationship mapping, which is really fantastic. It's
no doubt helpful on both sides.
Oh, absolutely helpful. And it's, you know, every day that I'm in the portfolio, I'm learning about more and more groups and more committees and agencies that are working towards mental health, family violence. There's just so many events, and there's so many areas and groups that are working on things that where police can partner with. It's really never ending, which is fantastic to see. There's a lot of money going towards these programs, but there's also a lot of community support. It's great.
Fantastic. Well, team, thanks so much for joining me for another Glow Show podcast. Always good to know what's happening. And, boy, I guess we're looking forward to coming up all again in 2018. Fingers crossed that goes ahead.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, it's funny you say that. So, you know, our Deputy Commissioner, Mr. Andrew Crisp, was there, as we were saying before, and he apparently had a fantastic time. And as I say, I'm really sorry that I couldn't be there with Tony and Andrew. But, look, you know, we're looking at having, you know, putting more support behind it next year, and hopefully we can get some more people.
Blue Light Disco?
Great. Yeah. Well, maybe. You know, imagine that. That'd
Bring
be amazing.
All right, Jen, how do people find out more about their local LGBTI liaison officers?
Yeah, look, you can go onto the Victoria Police website. You can put in GLOW, G-L-L-O, or you can put in LGBTI liaison officer, and it'll bring you to the same page, which is our Priority Communities Division main page, and there's a myriad of information there about the GLOWs. It also has a contact list for all the local GLOWs in the area. So yeah, feel free to have a look.
Great stuff. Look, if you are listening to our podcast now, please make sure you subscribe to us, rate and review, and do share it with your friends, because the more people that know about us, the more we can share this good information with the community. Thank you very much, Jen.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
And thank you, Dinesh.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Head to joy.org.au/The Glow Show to find more episodes or search Joy 94.9 Glow Show on iTunes. Subscribe so you never miss an episode. Rate and review if you like what you hear.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.